Peter chapter 1, please. Take your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm glad you're here today. This isn't Christmas Sunday. Next Sunday is, and we have a special message already coming on my heart for that. But today we want to exalt the Lord Jesus in our preaching. And before we start, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you as a people of God that love you. We love your Son, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit's work in our heart to draw us unto you. Help me today as I would preach. I am a simple human being, and I need your infilling and your making the message alive through me. I pray that you'd help our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. And Lord, if there's someone that's come today and they've already drifted away, would you somehow grab their heart and bring it under the Word of God, and that they might receive a blessing? Now, Father, we ask your personal presence. And before I pray further, would you personally just say, God, speak to my heart, empower Pastor Butts, but speak to me, Lord. Just talk to him personally. Now, Lord, we commit this time to you. Help me to speak all that I should, nothing more and certainly nothing less. In Jesus' wonderful name, and everybody said, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1. In the first couple chapters of 1 Peter, we find a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 1, Peter, who is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Let's just stop for a moment and think about that. We are a messenger, just like Paul, after we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we are a messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've received the Lord as our Savior. I hope that you will realize it isn't just Peter and Paul and John and all these people. We are the present day Peter. We are the present day John. We are the present day James that take the gospel into this world. But Jesus is presented. I am so thankful. I said this last week. The stores are now sort of playing again Christmas songs. And I thought it was sort of an interesting thing. I was walking through the mall the other day, and I was in a store that was really not very God-centered thinking, so just not the way the store was framed. And here in the background, they were saying, the Lord Jesus, the song singing, Jesus is Lord, and he died, and God gave his Emmanuel. I'm thinking, wow, where's this picture? But the words were so good to hear in the midst of that. And in our society, as much as we could complain in America that it seems like we're post-Christian in a lot of ways, Jesus Christ is still seen. And our question would come to us in a church like this and in our society, having known about Jesus, what will you do with him? What you do with Jesus makes all the difference for eternity. There's a song that was written by Ron Hamilton years ago. What will you do with Jesus? He who redeemed your soul. What will you do with Jesus? He who can make you whole. Sovereign of all the ages. Savior of Calvary. What will you do with Jesus? He longs to set you free. What will you do with Jesus? He who became your sin. What will you do with Jesus? He who can cleanse within. What will you do with Jesus? Jesus, giver of life eternal, victor of hell's domain. What will you do with Jesus? Gladly he bore your pain. What will you do with Jesus? Conquering Lord of all. What will you do with Jesus? Come while you hear his call. Follow his steps to Calvary. Humbly bow before him. What will you do with Jesus? Call on his mercy now. You know, as we start this message, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, maybe God has brought you to Westside Baptist Church this morning to hear again that Jesus is God's Son, who willingly heard the call of his Father to enter this world and take on human form, and yet being sinless, he took our sin upon himself, and he took our death, our penalty of sin, the wages of sin is death, and he took and tasted of death for you and me. And God the Father, having received the special price of that shed blood paid for my sin and yours, God the Father reached down and raised him from the dead as the first type of all those that are believing in Christ. And when we believe in Christ, we're placed into Christ. At that moment, we know that we will be raised again someday with him for eternity. This is the hope of the Christian. And if you're here this morning and you know the facts about the Lord, but you don't know the Lord is your Savior, I just tell you, it's not knowing, it's believing. And I thought it was interesting this morning, Mrs. Hernandez, Yolanda, gave her testimony briefly about when she came up for her birthday. Happy birthday again. She said that she was in a Sunday school class just a few years ago. The teacher said, it's not knowing, it's a personal relationship. So can I ask you a question? What will you do? What have you done with Jesus? Can you honestly say that Jesus is in your heart by faith? You've believed, you've invited him into your life, and you're trusting him. This chapter or two speaks to that very much. So let's go back to 1 Peter. And so Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to the strangers scattered out, he says in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. Let's just stop right there. We're not going to dwell heavily on many verses. We're going to spot check some truths going through here. But let's look at what it says here first. Through the sanctification of the Spirit. What does that mean? God the Holy Spirit convicts a heart of an individual that they are lost. And according to the Bible, we're dead unto God spiritually. Our wages have separated us from a holy God. The wages of our sin have come between us and God. And the Holy Spirit then comes to an individual and says, this is your condition, separated from your Creator. But your Creator loves you. God the Father, in His mercy, sent His Son to die for you. Will you receive that work that He did on Calvary? This is the Christmas message, really. God sending His Son, and the plan that has been from ages back in God's mind to bring mankind back to Himself is now put into gear. And so the Holy Spirit takes this truth and He takes to an individual and He convicts. I can remember when I was younger, and I grew up in a not saved family so much. And I can remember people asking, how do you know it's God speaking to you and not the preacher? God uses His word. God uses individuals like Peter as an apostle. But let me tell you what, it's the Holy Spirit that takes that message, and it seems like almost like Cinderella. The shoe just fits you. And you try to walk away from it, and you cannot walk away from it. The Holy Spirit just says, that's you. This is your day. You know that that's my Son that died for you. What are you going to do? That's the Holy Spirit trying to draw you from your sinful condition to the Savior that can cleanse your soul. So He talks about the sanctification of the Spirit. Boy, there have been times where the Holy Spirit has spoken to my heart. Can you say amen to that? And when He does, you'll know. So if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, it just seems to me like that's human being. Could it be that what's really been going on in your life has been God's Holy Spirit has graciously been calling your heart? He's been speaking to you. If you keep going down that road to eternity, you will not go to be with God. You'll end up in the punishment of a place like hell forever. That's a heavy burden to carry in your life. But then it says in that same verse, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, obedience to the message of salvation and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So what is it that has come then? Jesus has come to this world. Many, many people have an idea that Jesus came to be a good example. Sort of like in looking at Confucius sayings. He came to give us some proverb wisdom. He came to show us how to live straight in a wicked society. Well, Jesus has a lot of wisdom, and Jesus did live straight in a wicked society, but that's not why He came. Jesus Christ came to pay the wages of our sin, and there's nobody else that could have done that. If you have been here at all in the evenings when we're studying the book of Revelation chapter 5, there's a time in eternity where they're going to stand up in heaven and say, who can pay the price for all the sins of mankind? And the whole heaven begins to weep as there's no one that's found able until a lamb, as it were slain from the foundation of the earth, steps forward and takes that rite of redemption, and the heavens explode with those 10,000 hallelujahs that we're talking about. This is what Jesus did. His shed blood was the price that satisfied the offended God. And so we find two things here. We find God in the Trinity of the Father. We find the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. And then we find Jesus Christ, the one that stepped forward to pay for our sins. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection. That verse is just full of things. Look, if you will, first of all, his abundant mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not giving you what you deserve. Grace is giving you something that somebody else paid for. But mercy is holding off from the punishment. God, in his mercy, has sent a way for our sins to be lifted off us. And so, his abundant mercy. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. God, in his just mercy, has said, those people that have been wicked and vile and they've been sinners, God, in his mercy, has made a way for our punishment to be taken away. Notice abundant mercy. He has begotten us again. We often talk about in John chapter 3 that ye must be born again. The idea of being born again, I was dead in my sins, but when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, God made me alive. And I was born into the family of God, and I am no longer in God's sight that old sinner Richard Butts, but I am a brand new Richard Butts. I am alive, and God sees me in the person of Jesus Christ. I've been born again. It's spiritual. You can't see it, according to John chapter 3. It's like the wind blowing in the air. You can say, I can't see the wind, but I sure can see the effect. If the wind blows across that field, it picks up the dust, it picks up the leaves, it picks up the trash, whatever is there. If it blows across a chimney with smoke will come across it, you'll see the wind. You can't see somebody get saved, but you sure can see how it affects their life. Let me ask you a question. You say that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Has there been any change after that day in your life? I have a real question mark in my heart for a man or a woman. So like Pastor Stephen's testimony this morning, growing up in a Christian family, a pastor's home, and knowing how to look like a Christian. But there has to be a personal relationship where you're actually spiritually changed and you're born into God's family. Has that happened in your life? You know yourself. Listen, I don't pretend to be a perfect person. I know I'm a pastor, but there are things I struggle with. But I do know this, that when I got saved, there was in my life now a desire to serve the Lord and a desire to struggle towards righteousness and a response to God's Spirit when he speaks to my heart. There was a change because I was born again. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. So he talks about this in verse 3. Look, if you will, again. He said, abundant mercy, we're begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection. That word lively hope could be the word a living hope. That word hope could be the word confidence. I have a living confidence. Do you know what my confidence is? That being in Jesus Christ, underneath the shed blood that covers my sins, I have a confidence that one day I will live with him again. You'll probably one day hear that Richard Butts dies. When you hear that, you say, oh my, you know, he was only 195 and he died already, you know. I mean, you hear he died. And maybe you'll come to my funeral. I don't know how you'll react. But don't worry about it, because I have a living hope. I have a living hope. You know, tonight in the cantata, not try to give a lot of it away, but one of the characters really lives that living hope. If you know that if you have Christ in your heart and you die today, you have confidence to face the day of death and to face eternity, because now you are a citizen of heaven. It's a living hope. My reservation is in. I know Christ is my Savior. He has paid it all. He gave his shed blood by the resurrection from the death. It is the proof for us as Christians. Look at verse 4. He says he's then given us an inheritance in heaven. An inheritance, and I'm not going to preach all this, but there's seven things true about that inheritance. Look at the first thing. It's incorruptible. In other words, I get to heaven, it's not great. Oops, I was up there for a while, then I slipped away. I got saved for a while, then I lost it. It's incorruptible. And then it says this, it fades, it's undefiled. And then it says, it fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. You've got reservations in heaven. I like to use this illustration. When I first came to Houston, we were working on a project, and we looked around at some of the stores out in this west side of town. Nobody carried the special part we needed, so they got in the Yellow Pages. We've almost forgot what those were anymore. And we got in the Yellow Pages, and we found a place way down in town, you know, in that part of town that's not so nice sometimes, all these warehouses, and you have to, and back then you had to do a key map. Do you remember the old key maps? Oh, my goodness. And you make one wrong turn, next thing you know, you don't, well, I don't know. I didn't know this city had places like that. But you end up downtown, and I drove and then got in this parking lot in an alley, and they said, when you go to the will call window. And I had no idea. I was just a young guy. I had no idea what a will call window was. They said, when you go there, they'll have the order ready for you, and all you have to say is, your name is Richard Butts from Westside Baptist Church, and they'll give you the part. It's all paid for and ready to go. All you have to do is go to the will call window. To me, that just seemed too easy. So I found my way down there, went to the window, and I said, I've never done this before. It says will call here, and it says, my name is Richard Butts. Oh, here. You're done. Sign this paper. So, that's it. Went and put it in my car and took it home. Gave it. It was done. It had been reserved and waiting for me. That's the idea of our salvation. One day we'll go to the will call window. Amen. We're walking up and say, my name is Richard Butts. I'm here. Jesus said to come. Well, come on right in. Your name's written right here in the book of life. And they've got a room for you. Amen. Isn't that sweet? That's what Jesus Christ did for us. When he died on the cross, we have an inheritance, undefiled, fades not away. It's reserved in heaven. And it says, kept by the power of God. Listen, with God behind it, you know what's going to happen. A lot of verses in the Bible says that when God was trying to confirm his oath, there was no greater thing that he could swear by, so we swore it by his own name. And God the Father, on his own name, has said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And so we go to a place where the power of God's behind it. And then it says in that verse, through faith. And I've talked to enough people about salvation to know this. They said, you mean all I have to do is turn from this wickedness and my own efforts and just say by faith, I believe God's way is right, that Jesus is really who he said he is, and I'm going to hear this truth and I'm going to believe it. That's faith. I'm going to trust it. I'm going to lean on Jesus. I'm going to trust him. That's all I have to do. And the answer is an astoundingly, absolutely yes. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to pay a check. You don't have to come from a certain family. You don't have to live in a certain part of the country. You don't have to be a certain age. You just have to receive the truth of the Word of God, that Jesus is who he said he is, did what he said he would do, and when you call upon him, backed by the power of God, he will have a reservation made from you because you're going to be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful truth for us to have. So our question, again, the message was, what will you do with Jesus? Will you be somebody that has the knowledge but never a receiver? My pastor, when I was a young boy, used to continually say a lot of people are 18 inches from heaven. When I was a little boy, I didn't quite understand it. But one day, he stopped and explained it afresh. 18 inches from heaven is this, the distance between your head and your heart. You can know and still be lost. You can know and in your mind say, Jesus is God. I was talking to to one of the people in our church, and they brought out the point, even the devil believes, but he's sure not going to heaven. He knows God's who he is. But when we talk about placing your faith in Jesus Christ, when that Holy Spirit of God that I mentioned moves in on your heart and he says, what will you do with this truth? Will you receive it and mix it with faith? Or will you let it go? Oh, I tell you, a lot of people, the first times they hear this message I'm preaching on, they want to think on it. They want to cogitate on it for a little while. But maybe you've been in that boat. You've been thinking about it. One day you're going to have to answer for it. Don't put it off anymore. It'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. And God the Father, his word backs it up. And when you put your belief in Christ, you are saved. And notice the last thing, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see it in verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. How much clearer could you be? It is not of works. You don't get baptized to get to heaven. You don't go out and help a lot of poor people. You know, I see a lot of people that have a religion that says, well, I was changed and I gave up my big job and I started building houses for the poor. Well, good for you. No criticism, but that's not how you get to heaven. Bible says all of our good works in God's sight is filthy rags. And that's why Jesus had to come. And it started that day in Bethlehem as that baby was born, innocent, sinless, literally the Son of God. And we think of the virgin birth. Here's Jesus being placed by the Holy Spirit, by God, into Mary, this young virgin girl. And a heavenly father and a human mother, and we have the incarnation, man and God, Jesus coming and taking on human flesh. And with that sinless nature, he then took my sin 33 years later on the cross. He came with a purpose and he fulfilled it. And that reaches out even to us today. Well, as you go in this chapter, we're going to skip down, and I want you to see in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Well, let's just stop here for a moment. Old Testament, they are searching. When is this Messiah of God going to come? At what time, in what manner of time is this Jesus going to come? And they had the prophecies that were written. He would be born in Bethlehem, the smallest of cities. He would be born of a virgin. All these different prophecies. When Jesus was born, almost 500 prophecies were fulfilled. What time, what manner of time? It was fulfilled that night that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. But if we took the time to look, these next verses says this, that even though they looked into it, these prophets, the time was not for them, but it was to this generation when the Bible was being written. You have received the coming, having come, died on the cross, Messiah, having finished his work. And he says this is the gospel I preach unto you. Let's think what gospel means. Gospel, the guy's preaching the gospel. Gospel means good news. What's the good news? You don't have to die in your sin. The Savior has come, done his work, and finished. He's in heaven preparing a place for you. It's reserved. All you have to do is call by faith. That's the gospel. The prophets looked into this and they said, wow, that's a wonderful thing. But it was to a future generation. You and I, we look back to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And we see the work of God that's come to place and what God has done for you and for me. Look at verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time, verse 12. It was revealed unto the prophets, not in their time, but now unto us. And so we preach with the Holy Ghost come down from God. Then the angels say, Why are those human beings that have in this wonderful truth that's brought to mankind, how could they reject the King of Glory? Can you imagine the angels looking at a church service like Westside Baptist Church this morning, and they're hearing a preacher struggling to try to explain what Jesus has done, and he's offering to all those that are without Christ an opportunity to receive this gospel, and the angels are looking in and they're saying, go for it, go for it, receive him. And at the end of the service, when the call to receive Christ comes, and the person the most that needs it, that's lost and dying without Christ, they leave another time without Christ. I wonder if the angels aren't saying, what's going on here? Didn't they understand? This is God's Son that died for them. We wish it were us. This is a wonderful thing that God has visited human man and laid down his Son's life for their salvation. So the angels and the prophets looked into it. Verses 13 and following challenges us then to be a godly Christians. But look at verse 18. He tells us about our salvation a little further. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. Listen, we're not saved by money. I have learned in my life that one of the biggest triggers that controls people is money. We'll do much for money. We'll sell our souls for money. It's amazing. And God says, listen, money doesn't mean anything to me. You say, why? It doesn't mean anything? He created the hills. He created the oceans. He created the skies. He created all life. He created the gold that's in the hills, the silver that's in those hills. He created the diamonds that are in all those mines. And you think that you can write God a check? God says, you are not going to be saved by writing me a check. It's by the precious shed blood of my Son that gave his life in your place. You are not redeemed by this other stuff. And notice he says, by the tradition of men. Years ago, I had the privilege of going to Israel. It was one of the highlight trips in my life. I was just a young preacher, got this neat trip for $500. It was so they get preachers over there, and hopefully they could come back with their congregations, you know, and spend a lot of money over there. So I took advantage of it, and I went to Israel. And I got paired. It was this preacher's trip, and I got paired with a guy that was in a very liberal denomination. Said he believed the God's Bible contained the Word of God, and that the Bible is a good guiding starting point. But he said, and I don't care to name his denomination because we're not talking about that. But this is what he said. He said, I know the Bible says certain things, but can I tell you, our church denomination has believed this truth that I'm going to tell you about getting saved by doing these different things for over 800 years. We believe this. That 800 years of tradition trumps the Bible. I said, what did you say? Yes, surely if for eight centuries there have been religious people that have believed a tradition, surely it has been validated over the Bible. And I can remember up to that point, we've been riding in the bus around. We were paired as partners. We were in the same motel rooms. And this conversation that we had was, of all places, at midnight walking along the Sea of Galilee. I feel like Jesus was there. And I can remember saying, listen, from what you said, you're lost and dying. And you don't get saved by the traditions of men. You get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I was very bold and talked to him. We didn't argue, but we just laid it out. The next day, we packed up our stuff. We still had about 3 more days on the trip. And went to get on the bus. I had a new partner. That night, we stopped the hotel room. I was in a different, he had enough of hearing the gospel. He basically made a decision on that trip. Tradition was more important than the truth of the Word of God. You are not saved by the traditions of men. I don't care who said it. I don't care if Pastor Butt says it. If it's not what God said, you better watch out if you're trusting the traditions of men. I don't care how rich you are. You know, it's interesting, in the last years of politics, these billionaires keep running for office. You know what? Those billions aren't going to get them into heaven, though. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Bill Gates. I don't care if it's Donald Trump or Bloomberg recently. It's what they have done with Jesus that will matter. And who are we? We think, man, I'm just down here making my few pennies every week. Listen, it's not who we are. It's not our condition. It's not our pedigree. It's not all these things. It's what have you done with Jesus that makes all the difference in the world. Redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you notice, please, it says in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Listen, God had this plan even before the world was created. God says, I'm going to make a way for this group to be saved. Listen, God loves us. He tells us here that we need to be born again in verse 23. He says in verse 22, you need to have your heart purified. In verse 25, he says, it's by the word of God that this gospel is preached unto you. And can I say to you, this gospel is very important. I don't have the time to go into chapter 2 like I wanted to, but let me lay it out for you real quick. Chapter 2 builds on chapter 1 that says this. Jesus then is God's main cornerstone of the building of our life. He's the foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, other foundation has no man laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And in this chapter, it says when the Jews had the Messiah come unto him, and they did not believe, they would not mix their faith in believing in Jesus Christ, they took that truth like a stone, building a building of their religious life. They thought it was worthless, and they threw it over here on the heap. And when they got busy finishing up the building and getting the most important main stone, they said, where is it? Where's the main stone? That main stone represents Jesus. They couldn't find it. And the Bible says this, that represents how mankind deals with Jesus Christ. Here God has given us the foundation stone of our very existence in eternity. And people, when they hear Jesus Christ presented, they can either be like those Jews, look at it, and the Bible says they stumble on that stone. And they toss it away, thinking it to be worthless. Or they can be believing and be saved. This is what God wants us to understand. At this Christmas time, it's not the beautiful manger, it's not the singing angels, it's not all the aura of all the sweetness and the glitter. Those things are wonderful celebrations, but they all celebrate God's living stone that was given to us in that manger so long ago. He came for you. So I go with your question, what will you do with Jesus? In this passage, it says, because of this, we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Somebody help me find the verse. It's found in verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. Or verse 1, chapter 1. Whom having not seen, ye love. In him though now ye see him, not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a song that's in our older hymn book. It's not in the hymn book in your racks here. And I can remember when I was a boy, the church got up and sang, ah, that is joy unspeakable and full. I thought, what in the world are they talking about? Full of glory, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. What was going on? Then I got old enough to read the verses. I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free. Yes, free indeed. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing. I am saved from that awful gulf of sin. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near. I can see his smiling face. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how it waves of glory roll. It is like a great flowing well springing up within my soul. Oh, it is joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Full of glory. Full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The half has never yet been told. As feeble as I am, one tenth hasn't been told this morning what Jesus did for you. Do you understand? The most important thing to get done right in your life is what you do with Jesus. You can mess up in a lot of other areas, but if you miss God's open door of salvation, it's a major miss. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? Will you receive him? When I was a young boy, my grandpa died. I wasn't old enough to understand all the theology of Jesus. But I watched my grandfather, and it just bothered me. There was no life in that body. It didn't look like him. You ever go to funerals, and people say, oh, he just looks like he's just sleeping? Not most of the time. I can remember it just bothered me so much. And we went to the graveyard, and it was in February in New York. They pulled the snow back about that deep, and they mounded it up, and they dug the dirt out. And I remember as they lowered the casket in, and they brought all the flowers from the funeral, and they laid them on the snowbanks all around. And I watched as they pushed the snow and the earth in on top of that, and the flowers laid on top of it. And I remember going home, and I thought, my grandfather's cold in that ground. It bothered me just to think that. I can imagine what it's like to be claustrophobic. He's in that box. And just really, my heart was just full of anxiety. And I can remember talking to my sister then in June of that year. We were out in a baler in the field baling up hay. And we had old baler, big square bales, and put strings around it. And the knotter wasn't working. So my dad had us sitting back there pulling on the strings. And if the knot didn't knot, thump, thump, my dad would come and tie it by hand. That was our whole job. Boring. And I said, Jeannie, what happened to Grandpa? My sister's 2 years older than me. She said, why? I said, I just can't stand to think of him in the ground. He's not there. He said, if he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, then he's with Jesus. And he has eternal life. If not, well, my sister actually gave me some bad theology. She said he waited 7 days and went to hell. I don't know where the 7 days came from. I have no idea. But I do know there was a truth there that day, and I knew that if I died, I wanted to make sure I was born again. So with 7-year-old faith, that day, what did I do with Jesus? I received it. And not because I was such a good kid, religious family, been perfect, I'm a preacher. None of those. It's the day by faith I mixed my faith with the truth of Jesus' salvation. And my hope, my living confidence is one day I'll be raised with him. Do you have that confidence? I'm not talking to just new people in our church. You've been around here forever, like Pastor Stephen gave his testimony. When God looks you in the face at the judgment, what did you do with Jesus? Do you know the only sin that eventually, bottom line, sends a person to hell is the sin of disbelief or unbelief? So I thought it was my lying, my cheating, I stole a bunch of stuff. It's the day that you say, I choose not to believe in God. I don't know how to present it any other way. God loves you. His abundant mercy has been shown to us. His Holy Spirit convicts us and calls us. But God's given you a free will. What will you do with Jesus? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help each one of us to make a decision deep in our heart to place our trust in the finished work of your Son, Jesus. Father, if there's man, woman, or teenager, young person that's known about him but had not yet had a relationship by faith, trust in him, may they today cross that line into being born into your family and believe on Christ. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed,